Hello, this is David Dickens, and today we are doing a second of a three-part series on retirement questions that every generation is asking. Last time we covered baby boomers, today we're going to cover Gen X, basically people 44 to 59. Questions like, have I saved enough to retire, and how much should I save, and can I retire early? So we're going to tackle those three and a couple more, and hopefully you find something in here that's really interesting just for you. I'll go get Walter. And we'll get started.
Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Going to be another great episode with David Dickens. I'm Walter Storholtz. This is Cover Your Assets KC. David is the president and wealth advisor of KC Financial Advisors. And yeah, second part of our series here, talking about the generations. If you missed the first one about baby boomers, just go back to the prior episode and you can check out that great conversation. And for you millennials or those interested in that generation, we'll be talking about you next time around. But today, David, all the focus falls on Gen X. I know a few Gen Xers and they always feel overlooked. David. Has that been your impression too?
Yeah, they don't. I mean, the baby boomers were all the buzz when we started retiring, and then the millennials took the big spotlight, and Gen X was just kind of, you know, they're almost the silent generation of our generation.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Well, it's also a small generation. I mean, you described it as like mid-60s to mid-70s. It's only like a decade worth of a generation, where most of the other generations are spanning the two-decade mark. So they do kind of fall in a little bit of this in-between spot.
Well, we're going to give them some really good information today. And if you aren't one of them and you're listening to this podcast, then I'd encourage you to forward this on to somebody in this generation of kind of the, you know, mid-40s all the way up to age 60. They're getting close enough where they're thinking the hard questions of, have I started too late? Do I have enough? What is enough? All those types of things. And, you know, if you're mid-40s, this is the time to put a really good plan together. If you're 60, you have burning questions. So if that's not you, forward this to somebody you know who is in that spot. And hopefully they get a couple of really good ideas as to what to do tomorrow about the questions they have today.
Yeah, take 15, 20 minutes, pause the hairband music for just a moment, and get some great financial advice and guidance here. So I think this is going to be great. All right, we've got eight questions that Gen X needs to be asking. And here we go, David, let's dive in. The first one, how much do I need to have saved to actually retire? You kind of hinted this question's starting to pop up a little bit more for these folks.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, everybody gets a little nervous saying, well, am I ahead? Am I behind? They Google an average, and Google has plenty of averages for you. But you're not living an average lifestyle. You're living your own lifestyle. So how much you need is a question that's very specific to you. So it's really important. At some point, you're going to want to have a real, pretty detailed plan put together. So have you saved enough? The answer is, well, do I have enough to cover all of my future living expenses plus inflation, plus unexpected medical bills? How comfortable am I with uncertainty? Personally, I'm not very uncomfortable. I'm pretty uncomfortable with uncertainty. So I like to have a real, pretty tight plan. But I've visited with people who are pretty cool with uncertainty. So that's a different type of plan. But it's nonsense. Sometimes you'll see, you know, a clickbait headline that says, you know, you've got to have $1 million, or now $1 million isn't what it used to be. That is all nonsense. You got to throw that out the window and make sure that you have a real plan that's specific to you. And that plan is going to tell you whether you're on track or not.
I think that's a great point. That one strikes me a lot too, because I feel Gen X is probably where the millennials are, and where you're trying to figure out that specific target number, it's kind of unattainable at the moment. Because by the time if you use these calculators online and you type in a bunch of information, and then it's spitting out, you know, it's taking into account to inflation and all these other things, and so it might spit out $2 million, $5 million, $8 million. And you're like, oh my gosh, well, that is kind of hard to wrap my brain around at this point in time in life. And that doesn't even seem realistic at this point. So I feel like that's one nice thing about Gen X, is you're starting to get into that zone where projections and estimates and things like that at least are going to be a little bit more realistic and I don't know, easier to wrap your brain around, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And at this point in their lives, they still have time to self-correct. Hmm. So if they're behind, plenty of time. If you're an early, if you're a late Gen Xer, so if you're, you know, in your 40s, you have plenty of time to make corrections. If you're sitting there at 58 or 59 or 60 and you were kind of hoping to early retire, that ship might have sailed for you. But let's get to the next seven questions and just see. I think we're going to cover one or two of those.
Yeah, you're already teasing. I'll throw the next next one at you here, David, but you're already teasing number three there for sure. So speaking of those projections I was talking about, it takes us right into question number two. How do I know if I'm on track with my retirement savings? So we need the target, but then trying to figure out how we're on track, that becomes pretty important.
Yeah, so in my world, the planning software that we use takes people to their 100th birthday. And if there's money left for their heirs at age 100, then I would say that they're on track with their retirement savings. So the software is going to ask things like, how much are you currently saving out of your paychecks or otherwise? At this point, you can go onto ssa.gov and get a decent reading as to what your Social Security income is going to be at your full retirement age. You might know whether or not you're going to have a pension or not. You're going to make some assumptions into how your assets that you've saved for yourself, how those are going to grow between now and retirement and then after retirement, because a lot of people get more conservative once they are retiring and not drawing a paycheck. And then, of course, your expenses. How much are you going to spend a year, a month, between now and when you retire? And then what happens after retire? Are you going to travel like crazy for the first 10 years? Are you, you know, whatever your lifestyle you expect it to be in retirement, those are things you really start to need to envision now so that you can determine, well, have I saved? Am I saving enough? And am I on track? If you don't have a picture of what your retirement, what you want it to look like, then you can't possibly answer these first two questions.
It's a really good point. So got to have that good vision in place. All right, David, I can't wait for this one because you talked about people maybe feeling like they started too late. So question number three for Gen X, how can I catch up if I did start saving a little late?
Yeah, so three different ideas here. One is Congress implemented, I don't even know how long this has been around, but it's been a while. Once you get to age 50, you get to start putting extra money into your IRA or your 401k, 403b, whatever savings vehicle you use. So for instance, if you're now over 50, you can put an extra $1,000. Instead of $7,000 a year into your IRA, you can put $8,000. The bigger kicker is if you happen to have a 401k or a 403b at work, instead of $24,000 roughly dollars, $23,000, you can put an extra $7,500 away. So depending on what your income is and your spent expenditures, you could save $35,500 this year into your 401k. So that's a really nice way to ratchet it up. Usually when you get into your 50s, maybe your kids are out of the house, out of college, maybe you paid off your mortgage early and you've got extra money laying around every 2 weeks out of that paycheck. Slam it into your 401k. It's probably going to make a nice big difference by the time you retire. Maybe you've decided, I'm not going to try to catch up. I'm just going to work an extra year or two or three. Or I'm going to get a part-time job in retirement. There are different ways to skin this cat. Sorry if you're a cat lover. But there are different ways to skin this retirement cat. And so now is a really good time, especially in your early to late 50s, to start figuring out, well, if I can't afford to do catch-up, maybe I can afford to put my retirement on hold for a year or two. And then the final thing, I think I might have mentioned this in the last podcast, but probably the fastest way to catch up if you started late is what Ben Franklin said centuries ago. He said there's two ways to become wealthy, spend less or save more. And the fastest way to get there is to do both of those at the same time. So take a little advice from old Ben, and maybe you ratchet up your savings percentage through spending a little less, and that's a faster way to make it to your goals.
That's a great point. I believe, what was it, when PETA put out other ways, you know, they were trying to get away from using phrases like skin the cat and kill two birds with one stone and have more animal-friendly phrases. I think there's more than one way to peel a kiwi, so I don't know if that one would catch on quite as well, but that was one that I saw.
Kiwi lobby might have a problem with that.
That's right.
And we they can find have a way lobby, to have I'm sure.
More than one route to climb a tree. I don't know, something like that.
Okay, go. Now you're. That's very low impact. I like that.
Yeah, hard to get make a tree offended, right? So we can make that work. Love it. All right, here's number four for Gen X questions you should be asking and that you maybe are asking, but you need good answers to. How can I balance saving for retirement with other financial goals like paying off a mortgage, helping with children's education? Or, shoot, David, our own education's probably still for a lot of Gen X maybe in the equation here, too. You are in that time of life where you do have a lot of competing priorities, I would think.
Yeah. So the one thing you have to make sure that you do is if you're thinking, oh, I should cut back on my 401k contribution, if your employer offers a matching contribution, then you absolutely, positively have to contribute enough to get the full match, because that's just free money, and you don't want to leave that sitting on the table. So if you're not contributing enough to your 401k to get the employer match, fix that today. And then, you know, paying off your mortgage or helping kids with education, or there's a zillion things that you can do with your money other than saving it for retirement. Regarding the mortgage, I get this a lot, and it's really a trade-off between hopefully a low fixed rate mortgage or extra dollars into the 401k. Well, if your mortgage is a low fixed rate mortgage, and this is not financial advice for you because I don't know your personal situation, but you're probably better off putting that extra money into the 401k and just continuing to click away at that low fixed rate mortgage. If you've got a decision between saving for your own retirement or helping your children's education, and, you know, this is a very tricky one, but I have encouraged people to let their kids take on some of the burden of their education so that they don't have to take on the burden of caring for you when you're old and retired. So definitely a balance, definitely works into how good of a quality of a plan you have. But what I don't have any clients who want to be retired and then be dependent upon family members. I don't have any of those clients. I don't know any of those people. And so your choice really, I think, should be making sure that you can take care of yourself for the rest of your life, probably to age 100. It's a good benchmark. If you can do that, you're probably not going to run out of money. And then if you have extra, that's awesome things to do for your kids, for whatever other goals you have, giving money to your university or et cetera. But make sure that you can take care of yourself without a bunch of government intervention. And I think that's a super worthy goal as you're in your 40s, 50s. You got time to make some course adjustments.
Fantastic. Well, take a breath. We're halfway through the questions that Gen X needs to be asking or may already be asking, but needs those solid answers to. And if you need help, if you're a Gen Xer and you're looking for some guidance in this arena, don't hesitate to reach out to David Dickens and go through the complete planning review, that CPR process that David takes all clients through to make sure you're understanding where you are right now in your financial planning process and where you need to head in the future to have a successful retirement. You can get in touch by calling 913-317-1414, or go to coveryourassetskc.com, and you can find out great resources on the website and get in touch there as well. coveryourassetskc.com. Just check the description of today's show, and you can find contact information listed there. All right, let's get it with number five here for Gen X. David, how can I maximize my investment returns without taking on excessive risks?
So that's the
magic
question.
That's
the trillion-dollar question. Yes. And excessive risk means something totally different to different people. So, you know, if you're particularly aggressive, and if you're, let's say you've saved $1 million for retirement, and we have a bear market, and your million becomes 700,000. If you look at that and say, this is a great buying opportunity, I'm going to find more money to put into the market now that it's gone down 30%, then you're an aggressive person and you could probably look at ways to, I don't use the term maximize your investment returns, but increase your investment returns by taking on maybe some extra risk. If, on the other hand, and I have way more clients on this end of the spectrum, if your $1 million that you've saved for retirement becomes $700,000 because the market went down 30%, I have a lot of clients that would say, hey, wait a minute, I need this money. We need to get safer. Well, all that means is you had too much invested in the market before it went down, and you're going to make a, almost always has been a bad decision to sell after it goes down because you're going to miss what comes back up. So while the market is super close to an all-time high, while we haven't had a real recession in, I don't know, 15 years, I'm not going to count the COVID recession because that was manufactured. It's been a long time since we've had a major downturn in the market. And so you would really, before you get aggressive here, you just want to make sure that you know your own inner self to say, am I an aggressive investor? Or am I really more to the conservative side of the spectrum? And I would get pretty shocked at myself and my own stupidity if I wrote it down 30% when I'm that close to retirement. You really need to know who you are inside of your skin. If you've got 10 years or more to retirement, so if you're at the late 40s of this Gen X, you've got 10 or 15 years before retirement. And so you probably, this again, this is not investment advice for you, but time's your friend, and you probably have a better opportunity to get a little bit more aggressive with your investments if you feel like you're running a little bit behind. But if you're in your late 50s and that's your best strategy for accomplishing your goals is to get more aggressive, I just encourage you to take really good stock of who you are and how you react to the negative impacts of risk. And just make sure you know exactly where you're, what you're doing here at this point in the market and the economic cycle.
Part of this mission is all about awareness. And yeah, awareness over how much risk you're taking is a big piece of that puzzle. So no doubt we want that to be a question you're asking if you are in Gen X. All right, question number six here, David. What should I do with my 401k from a previous employer? Or perhaps for some people, previous employers?
Yes, so I've seen this all the time. And my easy response is roll those over and get them into one account. Don't do 60-day rollovers. Do custodian to custodian so you don't get in any trouble with the IRS and make these things become taxable. But rollovers don't cost you any tax dollars if you do them correctly. And then once you get it into that rolled over position, maybe it's self-directed, maybe it's with an advisor. Either way, you're going to have a broad array of investment choices, way broader than you have in your 401k at work or your 403b. If you're over 59 and a half, they will offer you, almost every employer offers you an in-service distribution. So let's say you've got $500,000 in your 401k and you're like, boy, I sure would like to use some different investment alternatives. Well, talk to HR at your company, and they're very likely to have an easy-to-fill-out form that lets you do an in-service distribution, rolling $450,000 of that $500,000 out into an IRA, at which point you have tons of investment options. And then having three or four or five, what I'll call orphaned 401ks or 403bs, it makes it really hard, unless you're really on top of it, to track how am I doing versus my goals, and let alone the complexities of having all those accounts once required distributions start. So simplify your life, simplify your financial life and your plan, and roll those into one account. If you happen to be, there's one little exception to this. If you happen to be 55 and you think you might lose your job or retire early, there is a little loophole in the IRS rules about taking money out before 59 and a half. So I've only had one client that's ever done this. But if that sounds like something that might impact you, then get some good advice before you do those rollovers. But it's an easy bet that if you've got two or three or four 401ks, orphaned 401ks at X employers, those should almost always be consolidated into an IRA rollover.
Great points on that. And I know that you're dealing with that every day in the office, and lots of good decisions to be made around those old 401ks and what to do with them. All right, two more questions left here, David. The next one is, what if I want to retire early? So just as Generation X starts to get thinking about retirement, and it says, okay, they want to also think about maybe retiring early, or at least a chunk of folks will be in that phase.
Yeah, for sure. Or making work optional is the way I like to phrase it to my younger friends and clients. But, you know, get to 55 or 60 or 62 and say, you know what? Now I really feel good about my job because I don't need it. And I'm going to hang out here because my salary's good. I like the work. I like my friends, whatever it is. But once you make work optional, it is very freeing to waking up in the morning going, okay, I get to go to work today. You know, the biggest hurdles between for early retirees, I can think of a couple. You've got to have income that's going to bridge between your work paycheck, which you won't have anymore, and when Social Security starts. And it's almost always a bad idea to start Social Security early. So what you'd really like to do is have enough income, have enough assets stored up where you can bridge that income gap between retirement day and age 67, which is going to be these people's full retirement age. So income to bridge. And then the second hurdle is cost of healthcare insurance, which can be an amazingly large number every month. If you've worked for an employer who covers that, you are going to be shocked when you find out how much it costs for health insurance. Now, the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, made a really nice size loophole for getting your healthcare premiums subsidized. And that depends on how much other income you have. So if you want to retire early, you would definitely want to make sure that your plan says you can make it to 100 on the money you've saved, and that you've got a way to deal with your healthcare insurance before Medicare kicks in at age 65. You know, maybe two different scenarios that I've seen in my office. One is this couple has done great and they have lots of money and they just decide we're going to retire early because we can. I've had a couple of other clients that have said, you know, I'm just going to retire because I don't like working. I want to enjoy life, whatever that means to their particular lifestyle. And I'm going to cut expenses and not work. Well, that's a perfectly fine path. You just want to make sure you have a really good plan that assures you that you don't run out of money when you're 79 or 83. So I think retiring early is a fantastic goal for anybody in their 40s and 50s or 30s. You just want to make sure that you have a good plan for getting there. And then you may get there and decide, I really like the community that I'm in at work. I'm just going to stay and make work optional. Whatever works for you, go for it. Just make sure you have a good plan.
Wonderful, David. That's helpful. All right, last one. Should I pay off my mortgage before retiring? What a good feeling that must be for a lot of Gen Xers to be able to start asking that question.
For sure. And I have, most of my clients have done that, but I've got some clients that still pay a mortgage. And honestly, they, even if it's an okay financial decision because they've got a really low fixed rate mortgage, they hate paying that mortgage payment. And so being mortgage free is awesome in retirement. So it is absolutely a goal you should strive for, in my opinion. But I would not restrict what I'm saving in investments to pay off a low fixed rate mortgage early. So low fixed rate mortgages are kind of a thing of the past right now. If you didn't do it 2 or 3 years ago, well, you're not going to do it today. But you might have that opportunity 3 or 4 or 5 years from now. We don't know what rates are going to do. But retiring that mortgage before you retire from your work is a really good goal. One of the things that might preclude you from doing that is in your late 50s, you know, you say, oh, we need a new house. We need a first floor master so we're not climbing stairs. And those ridiculously cool electronics they put in houses now are pretty awesome. And how about some new countertops and, you know, you name it. If you get a new mortgage in your late 50s because you wanted to upsize your home, then the plan would be that you've saved famously for your retirement, and you're not going to be worried about carrying a mortgage into retirement. So be careful with the decisions you make in your 50s and early 60s as you're getting into that, what we've often called that retirement red zone, where you're getting ready to score with your retirement, and you don't want to make a fumble or throw an interception, or sorry about the sports analogies, but they ring true to a lot of people. So paying off your mortgage is awesome. Everybody should strive to do that. If you can't get there, make sure you've got a low fixed rate mortgage.
Very good. My last question for you, David, not for Gen X specifically, although I think it'll be instructive here, is, you know, it's kind of funny. I think back over all of our episodes, we primarily seem to be talking to those baby boomers. And then occasionally we do episodes for younger listeners, and we often talk about them and refer to them as millennials. And you kind of have a pretty common way of saying, hey, give me a call. I'm happy to help you with a question and send you on your way and get you, you know, off to the right track or straightened out, however I can be helpful. What about Gen X, for that forgotten and in-between generation? Are they able to become clients and work directly with you? Are they still too young to engage in that planning, or are they in the wheelhouse or entering into that phase now of being able to seek professional help and guidance when it comes to retirement planning?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the older Gen Xers are really good candidates, unless they're super do-it-yourselfers. I think they're really good candidates for getting some professional advice on, have I saved enough and am I on track? And some of the software that you can use in a business like mine, well, you're not going to get for free over the internet. So it's going to be a better plan. When you're, especially next time's group, the millennials, and I've talked to a number of young Gen Xers, so in their 40s, and I can rough out a pretty quick plan that would allow them to go another 5 or 8 years without any real advice from a person like me. So I am, you know, it kind of depends on how much of a do-it-yourselfer you are. But I've seen some pretty good do-it-yourselfers that didn't know the right questions to ask when they get into their mid to late 50s. And so most people, unless you are really in tune with this, could go for a little bit of advice once you get to be 55, 10 years away from retirement, and have burning questions like these, making sure that while you still have time to course correct, you know how you should best make those corrections.
Excellent. Well, if you are in the neighborhood of needing that advice and guidance and wanting some help with David and his fantastic team, all you have to do is go to coveryourassetskc.com. CoverYourAssetsKC.com. Lots of info for you on the website, as well as ways to get in touch. So that's definitely one method to take. You can also pick up the phone and give David a call, and that number is 913-317-1414. Talk about your financial plan and the best path forward. 913-317-1414. And all that contact information is in the description of today's show. David, a nice thorough covering of good old Generation X, and I'll be looking forward to talking about millennials. That'll be in my wheelhouse next time around, so my ears will for sure be perked up in that next episode.
Well, there you go. I'm looking forward to that one. Those are people that have a ton of time to make all the plans they want. And so those are the most exciting, I think, opportunities to look at, is when you've got it all laid out in front of you and are going to, you know, just go haphazardly, or are you actually going to knock out a real plan that gets you to where you want to go? Retired at 58, retired at 68, you choose, but don't let it happen to you. Make sure you have a plan to get there. And that's what we're going to talk about next time.
Take control. I like it. That'll be the plan next time around here on Cover Your Assets KC. Until then, have a fantastic week. Come back and join us for the next episode. For David, I'm Walter. We'll see you next time on Cover Your Assets KC. Advisory services offered through Creative One Wealth, LLC, an investment advisor. KC Financial Advisors and Creative One Wealth, LLC are not affiliated. We are an independent financial services firm helping individuals create retirement strategies using a variety of insurance products to custom suit their needs and objectives. The information and opinions contained in this program have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. They are given for informational purposes only and are not a solicitation to buy or sell any of the products mentioned. The information is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. This material has been provided by a licensed insurance professional for informational and educational purposes only and is not endorsed or affiliated with the Social Security Administration or any government agency. It is not intended to provide and should not be relied upon for accounting, legal, tax, or investment advice.